Businesses have a responsibility throughout their entire value chains to respect human rights. If you can apply pressure at the top of the supply chain strategically, then you can achieve change at the bottom.
You are listening to Radio Atticus,
a national program on the law in the name of social justice.
This is obviously a live issue, and we need to start to talk about how we might regulate it here so that we aren't outsourcing our problems.
People are curious. They look at you and they want to know your story.
Radio Atticus, more than the vibe.
Hello and welcome to your national program on the law and justice and how it impacts your daily lives. I'm your host, Anna Marie Reyes, and I'm joined by co-host here, Sophia Carvajal.
Hi, I'm Sophia Carvajal. I'm joining Anna Marie on your favorite legal broadcast.
Oh, it's Carvajal, Sophia. And this week, we look at our online world and how easily abuse and even violence can take place by remote if we're not careful.
But first, we tackle what's behind the labelled practice of revenge porn online.
Noel Martin first discovered her photoshopped pictures on porn sites 5 years ago.
So the illicit photos appeared on her screen following a reverse Google search.
Needless to say, 5 years down the track, she still feels the trauma from that experience.
But recently, New South Wales government decided enough is enough and introduced amendments to the Crimes Act with the legislation, the Crimes Amendment Intimate Images Bill 2017.
And of course, Sophia Carvajal here followed her story. Also, advance warning, there's strong content in this story and strong language.
The following story contains details of an image-based sexual abuse case. If you've experienced something similar, you can contact Lifeline on 131114 or the Rape Crisis Line on 1800-RESPECT.
I found out about Google Image Reverse Search, which is a function of Google that allows you to upload a photo and it tells you where it is on the internet. So I literally, out of pure curiosity, uploaded one of my images, which is just a normal photo of me taking a selfie. It was not sexually explicit. It was just, you know, in front of a bathroom mirror like anybody else that takes a selfie in this generation.
And you were fully clothed as well, isn't it? You weren't nude or semi-nude. You were just fully clothed.
No, I was fully clothed. I mean, I had probably just a little bit of, you know, cleavage. But even then it wasn't, you know, overbearing. It was just an ordinary photo. Dozens of sites came up. And it was shocking and disgusting. I can't really do justice to the feeling. I went to the police. And I was told that they couldn't do anything, that essentially I had to go and contact the police myself, get everything deleted. And so that's what I did. I had to go and find the webmasters of the site.
How did you feel about that when she's revealing this story to you, Sophia?
I think that her story is very relatable, and that is exactly why I wanted to interview her, because it's so relatable. Who hasn't taken a selfie and uploaded it to a platform? And the fact is that so many people do it these days, especially millennials and younger teenagers. It's just so relatable, and that's the pros and cons of technology today. They're incredibly accessible, but that's also the downfall, that they're incredibly accessible. You know, anytime you can just grab it, record it, often without people's consent.
What Noel experienced, did you actually expect that anyone could easily, because we're usually told that it's very safe, our data online, that anyone could easily take your selfie away from wherever it is, from your website or your Facebook possibly or your Twitter posts, or Instagram, and suddenly it's being mixed and photoshopped with other naked bodies and finding yourself in porn sites. Like, I thought that our data's quite safe.
I actually think that people have been educated, especially young people, students in high school, that they're starting to get educated more about the fact that they need to be aware of these kind of things that happen, that they do need to put privacy settings on their social media, because there are people, like Noel mentioned in the story, that actually graze the internet for these kind of photos.
Mm.
And then they create content for their sites from these photos, which are free and they don't have to pay anyone for them.
Mm.
And so it's very attractive for them. And so I think knowledge of this kind of thing is, the awareness of this is increasing, which is a little bit sad, because you have to be guarded about everything, especially in this case where it was something very innocent.
Yes.
But I actually think, if I can just say this point before we go on to the next one, Noelle said something very important, I think. Even if, and this is my opinion, even if somebody does share a photo, like a sexy photo, it's also a sign that you're very comfortable in your body and that you're doing it in an environment where it's a trusting, safe environment. The problem only comes when somebody violates that trust and that consent and hits the share button and shares it with all these other people, completely taking the photo out of context and leaving you powerless. It's not actually against the law and it doesn't hurt anyone and it's done in a kind of really playful kind of way, but it ends up hurting and traumatizing women because of the way that that society tends to slut shame them for being comfortable and feeling empowered about their sexuality.
The other thing that I actually sense is her frustration that even in this modern world with the information superhighway, you know, metadata everywhere, like data, we're using data like nothing. Technology is advancing. I sense from her that the powerlessness that it gives you, you just feel like you're never the same again.
Extremely alone, extremely fearful, because I don't know who was responsible for these sites. I don't know whether communicating with dodgy people would, you know, put me in danger, and I didn't know whether it was someone that had known where I lived, like whether it was someone I knew, whether it was someone that knew, you know, where I studied. I just didn't know what would happen.
They say so-called revenge porn cases are from jilted lovers. This was not the case, was it, Noel?
No. That's the big misconception with image-based abuse, is that it's about just revenge porn, which is where, a jilted ex-lover wants to take revenge on their former partner. Or it's about, you know, youth sexting culture. That's just one small aspect of image-based abuse. Many people experience image manipulation, which is essentially what I experienced, where my photos, my face was doctored onto pornographic images. I know people to experience image-based abuse where their nude parts and they were recorded engaged in sexual activities without their consent. And there's so many different motivations besides revenge, essentially. Like, people can perpetrate this to humiliate, to coerce, to control, to shame, to ruin someone's reputation, there are so many motivations behind image-based abuse. Like, even just sexual gratification is a huge one. So that's one misconception about image-based abuse, is that revenge porn is just a small area of this major issue. And the nature of the internet is that things go viral and things are permanent. And so you try and delete one site, and then the next week, 10 more sites come up. And then it's shared and shared and shared. And you're literally facing a never-ending battle with the internet culture, which is why this is such a damaging, harmful, scary issue. This is adding in some way to this rape culture mentality, where we kind of blame the victim, or we kind of hold the victim responsible for taking severe precautions, or really, really conscious precautions to protect themselves from other people's horrific conduct. Like, I believe that women, especially because they are the primary targets of this, I mean, it happens to everyone, or it can happen to everyone. But I think, particularly for women, we should be able to take part in social media just like everybody else. And even if that means sharing selfies with our friends, with our family, or even the world.
Her anger as well over that powerlessness. But fortunately, she seems like a very courageous, very brave person to actually come out and talk to the media again and again, you know, when this new bill comes about. I think a lot of women must feel powerless. I know I've felt powerless in my own personal life sometimes when you lose control in that kind of situation. And it's very relatable to be in that position.
Also, I think the important thing is when she was describing her anger, not from a point of view that she's simply being angry and passionate and emotional, but also because the anger was really important for her to push her to actually take action.
I think
and
it's because
change
it
the situation
so, yeah,
and it make it so, more empowered for her.
That's right, because it affected her so deeply in terms of her career choices, her future job prospects, her mental health, all these kind of things that, you know, she said she couldn't sleep at night. And, you know, if you're in that situation, that affects you to the core, and it affects the way that you even think about your future, which is dangerous.
There's an aspect of her interview as well that looks at slut shaming, which is kind of really unfair. And I guess where I'm taking off is some of the stories that you share that she's actually discussed with the media as well already, like with her ABC interviews, when she tried to contact the webmaster to have the images removed, instead encountered with a response of, why don't you give us an image of your body parts
in exchange?
Yes.
For us taking down a photo that
yes.
that was actually photoshopped of Noelle. So that's just, she was, in order to get the photo down from the website, she was blackmailed. That attempt of blackmail happened.
Mm.
And she was dealing with them directly. There was no buffer in between her and the webmaster.
Because I understand that the police didn't feel that it was in their role to actually look into it.
And yeah, they said that they couldn't do anything about it.
I hate the idea of people ruining me and letting them win. And so I was fighting with my little heart to try and not let this affect me, but it did. And it affected everything. It affected my emotional health, my mental health, my hope, my dreams. I was just so distressed. I couldn't sleep at night, honestly. Just the thought and the worry of this potentially ruining your life. And I think specifically as a law student, where name and image and reputation means everything. Even to this day, when I do my assignments, I think, why am I even trying? Or I thought, why was I even trying? Because no matter how much you could work and how much you can try really hard in life, and if you're dealing with this, they have the power to ruin you, whether you like it or not. And that's just unacceptable. And it's taking quite a toll, but I don't want to let them win, so I have to kind of get through this.
The punishment is now up to 3 years jail time and a fine, and plus 2 more years if the images aren't taken down. What's your opinion on that?
Well, New South Wales, yes, has proposed this new punishment penalty regime. I think it is the strongest, most decisive action taken by any state and territory in Australia, which is really, really powerful. I think the best thing about it is that it is a powerful deterrent. People are talking about this now, and I feel like 3 years and $11,000 fine, whether that can really, you can't really put a price on how much distress you feel. It's still a steep term, and it's still a very, very strong, you know, punishment. And I think that is the power of this bill. I actually hadn't seen the photos in a while until recently, until, you know, the announcement of this bill, and I've had to kind of relive the situation.
This is why I think this law that's being introduced is very important.
Oh, I think it's very important, and it's a huge step forward. And with these cases, speed is also so important. You just want to take the images down, and you don't want the images hanging around. And so there are these laws that are effective immediately. So there are these laws that are effective are three years and $11,000 if you do that. If you don't take down the images, you can get another 2 years jail.
The federal government needs to get on this as soon as possible. They have recently come out and said that they're looking into civil remedies and formulating civil remedies for this issue. But I think they need to get out really soon, follow the structure of the New South Wales proposed legislation and just criminalise this, because it is a major issue that affects us nationally, but more than that, it affects us globally. And so that's what needs to happen. I mean, they've known about this for a very long time. It's been happening for years. There's been bills that have already been introduced, you know, on the state level and still not been passed. So they are well aware of this. And it's just high time that they got around to it. The fact that we still haven't gotten anything at the Commonwealth level, because people in the Northern Territory, people in Western Australia, people in Tasmania can still experience this, and still do, and are literally suffering right now because they are being controlled. We need national laws. We need international laws. But that's a different topic. But I think the steps, the small steps, we've got to just, justice is coming our way. Send whatever photos you want to anyone you want, just as long as you consent. And if they break that consent, that's on them, not you. But I think the difference in this case for me is that they were photoshopped images that looked like me. And I had some sort of, it's not any difference with the harms, I think, but it is different in some capacity that I can't really articulate. And so I felt obliged to say something. And I also think that having a background in law and having a background just being really quite opinionated in life, I had to. And I think if I wanted to see change, I just had to put myself out there.
I'm Michael Kirby, and you are listening to Radio Atticus. Radio Atticus is part of the Community Radio Network. I was formerly a Justice of the High Court of Australia with no time to listen to this, but now I sit glued to Radio Atticus.
I'm
I don't know actually if privacy settings is necessarily protecting you.
Well, when I think you can screenshot anything these days.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's
but when I also say think twice, then I'm saying also that when a woman is raped, she's usually being accused of being her fault because of what she's wearing.
Oh, absolutely.
So we're still caught in that struggle in terms of the right of women to just exist.
To just exist and to be confident in their sexuality, I guess. That is the issue. And that she asked for it is the main argument. She was asking for it. Whereas I think that's the wrong way. I agree with Noelle when she says that's the wrong way of looking at it. It's really you have to look at what the other person did to the person who was
victimized.
The story of Noel Martin there and ending that interview by Sophia Carvajal here. You're listening to Radio Atticus, broadcast nationally to the Community Radio Network and produced in the studios of Radio 2SER. I'm Anne-Marie Reyes.
And Sophia Carvajal.
Well, I'm Gillian Triggs. And for legal news, facts and opinion, listen to Radio Atticus on 2SER.
A lot of people who've been injured in accidents don't realise they might be entitled to compensation. But the truth is, if you have been injured, one phone call could change your life. A specialist injury lawyer can give you advice over the phone. Law Partners is Australia's largest specialist personal injury firm, and it costs nothing to call their local office and get some advice. Call Law Partners on 133 529 or visit lawpartners.com.au.
2SER sponsors.
Working late? Office party? Or just plain hungry? Crust Piermont is your go-to pizza store in the Sydney CBD. Open from 11am until late, 7 days a week, Crust Piermont can deliver up to 150 pizzas per order using the best equipment to ensure your gourmet pizzas are delivered fresh, hot and on time. So no matter if it's for your workmates, the whole office or just you, you can order online via the Crust Pizza app or call the store on 9566 1933. Crust Pizza Piermont proudly sponsors 2SER 107.3.
To get the legal aspect of the new law, we catch up with Jeff Holland, who is a lecturer at the Faculty of Law at the University of Technology, Sydney. He's also a practicing barrister.
The laws being introduced through an amendment of the Crimes Act prohibit the non-consensual sharing of what are defined as intimate images. The amendment defines an intimate image as an image of a person's private parts, the genitals or the anal area, and whether it is bare or covered by underwear, or the breasts of a female or a transgender or intersex person who identifies as female. But it goes one step further than that. It also covers an image that has been altered to appear to show a person's intimate parts through a manipulation of that image. So, for example, photoshopping a person's face on a nude photograph of someone else would be caught underneath this legislation.
And this law is fairly new in Australia, isn't it? There's only been these laws introduced in Victoria and South Australia and now New South Wales.
That's right. Although all jurisdictions, so all states and the Commonwealth have been looking at how to deal with this issue because it's been acknowledged for some time now as being of real concern.
Can you talk about the penalties about this kind of crime? What happens to someone when they have shared these images without consent?
The legislation sets out the penalties, which can be either the imposition of a fine, the maximum fine is $11,000, or can result in a prison term of up to 3 years. Both the fines and the possible prison sentence are quite steep and serious.
So what happens when somebody complains to a webmaster about a site that has been proliferated without consent and they refuse to take it down?
Well, unfortunately, the law does not really address that issue. The law, the new legislation, does place a burden where the court issues an order for the taking down of a photograph. It does place a burden on the person who has posted it. But unfortunately, beyond that, there is very, very little that can be done. And that's one of the problems with introducing a law where typically involves the images, in fact, being hosted outside of Australia. And so there's very little opportunity then for Australian courts to be able to take effective action.
There are actually no federal laws. There are laws in New South Wales now, in Victoria and South Australia, but there's still no federal laws.
It's within the scope of the Commonwealth's power to regulate the, and in fact criminalise, activities that involve the transmission of images using the internet.
A recent report from RMIT suggested that one in five people were affected by so-called revenge porn or image-based sexual abuse, mostly young teenagers. And the people who actually perpetrated this were under 16. Are these laws targeting those people under 16?
Well, the amendments certainly do address the issue of those who post revenge porn who are under 16. There is no barrier to action being taken against a person under 16 who posts these images. However, it will be necessary to obtain the consent of the Director of Public Prosecutions prior to any prosecution against a person under 16. And whilst I think it's important that there be a legal remedy, both criminal and civil, that can be taken to address these situations, I do think it is important that people do understand that with the internet, with social media, with digital technologies now, that once an image has been taken, and certainly once it is shared with someone else, you are effectively losing control of it. So certainly whilst there is never any justification for the posting of images as revenge porn, I think it is important for people, particularly young people, to realise that their control over images is lost once it is shared with one other person.
You just heard Jeff Holland there, who is a practicing barrister and a lecturer at the Faculty of Law at the University of Technology, Sydney. You're listening to Radio Atticus, broadcast nationally through the Community Radio Network and produced in the studios of Radio 2SER.
UTS is number one again, ranked as Australia's number one young university for the third year in a row. As a truly modern university, we never look back. By continually challenging conventions, we not only change the status quo, we improve it. Join us for a course info evening. To learn more, go online and search UTS Course Info Night. UTS, sponsors of 2SER 107.3.
Sydney Film Festival is on right now and must finish on Sunday, June 18. Hurry to sff.org.au to choose from hundreds of films on offer at 12 venues across the city, from the beautiful State Theatre to the Ritz Cinema in Randwick. Dramas, documentaries, comedy, horror, music, you name it, you'll be spoilt for choice. Book online or call 1300 733 733. Sydney Film Festival, sponsors of 2SER.
The content you hear on Radio Atticus is not legal advice. If you need legal advice, please contact your independent legal advisor.
And that's about all we have time for in this edition. We hope you enjoyed the show.
Radio Atticus is broadcast nationally to the Community Radio Network and produced in the studios of Radio 2SER.
If you want more, why not tune into our podcast on www.2ser.com/Radio Atticus.
Tune in again next week at the same time and place for your regular dose of justice and the law here on Radio Atticus. I'm Annemarie Reyes.
And I'm Sophia Carvajal.
See you all next week.